Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us through Ephesians, and coming up, we're continuing to learn about the path of victory over temptation as we look at how Jesus Himself overcame it. We'll be concluding a message called The Tempter and Temptation as we go back to basics.
I can never completely avoid temptation, but we need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in places or situations that will lead us into temptation. Look, we don't want to give the devil any help. He's plenty capable on his own. We don't want to assist him in any way. So we need to be careful that we are not putting ourselves in a vulnerable place. We need to have a realistic view of ourselves. See, people get themselves into trouble because they put themselves in positions where they can stumble and fall, and they often do that because they're not willing to admit the vulnerability that they have. They think, oh, well, you know, hey, that's not going to bother me. No, I'm above that. I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. I can handle that. The minute you start thinking that way, you're on your way to a fall. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So the moment I think that I am above some kind of thing, I'm already on my way down. The enemy's got, he's got me in a hold right there. So we have to recognize that. We have to have a realistic view of ourselves. This means recognizing our weaknesses and staying away from those things that pose a special problem for you. See, God expects us to do that. He expects us to use our minds. Now, let me just go through a few things. If you've had a struggle with sexual sin, which many people have, then you need to do everything you can to avoid any situation that's going to cause you to stumble. You don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable place. It might mean staying away from a certain person. So often when people fall into sexual sin, it's pretty clear how it happened. We went back to the apartment and it was late and, I was tired and decided not to go home. And then one thing led to, and then, you know, there you are. You're in sexual sin. So you need to not put yourself in things like that. So sometimes a certain person or a group of people, it could mean avoiding certain sources of entertainment, perhaps. Maybe certain films or programs on the TV or the internet. It might even be the magazine rack in a convenience store. Or maybe it's not just convenience stores where they have those kinds of magazines, right? But you have to recognize where you're vulnerable, because the enemy knows where you're vulnerable and he's going to try to get you there. So if it's been a sexual thing, then that's what you got to do. If you've had a struggle with alcohol or drug-related issues, then you need to avoid people, places, or situations that could put you into a compromise. You know, it's sort of just common sense, right? If you've had an alcohol problem, you don't go hang out in a bar. You just don't do it. You just recognize, now, certain places are off limits, and in some cases, too, certain people are off limits, because when I'm with those people, that's what I would tend to do. So you have to withdraw from that. You have to disengage from that. Anything that could lead you to compromise, you need to stay away from. Maybe you've struggled with more subtle issues like pride, self-righteousness, self-centeredness. Again, those are sins as well. And what we need to do is we need to be careful not to feed that. So we need to stay away from, in that kind of a case, things that will lend themselves to those sinful attitudes. You know, Jesus told us that we are to pray to God, lead us not into temptation. So we pray and ask God not to lead us into temptation. We need to make sure that we're not leading ourselves into temptation. That's what we're talking about. But like I said, the enemy, he's going to go after the areas that we're weak in. I have a friend who had struggled with lust and, you know, looking at things that he shouldn't be looking at. And I'll tell you how the devil works in these kinds of ways. He was on his way. He had a devotional time in the mornings, and he would go to a particular place to have his devotions. And as he was going there that morning to spend time in the Word and prayer, he's got his Bible in his hand. He's on his way there. And he walks past a trash can, and he's got to throw something in it. So he throws something in and just sort of inadvertently looks into the trash can. And there, lo and behold, there's a pornographic magazine right there staring him in the face. It's like, hey, pick this up. Check this out. And this was an area where he had a vulnerability. He was struggling. You see how ruthless Satan is. He's on his way to pray and seek God, and the devil just throws this in his path. We have to be wise. We have to be careful. I was talking to a young guy recently, and I was actually joking with him because he has this totally archaic, outdated flip phone, and I was harassing him about that because he's an otherwise, you know, real savvy tech guy, and he's a musician, and he's a filmmaker, and he's all this, and he's got this dumb phone, and, you know, like, why do you have that phone? And I was teasing him about it. And all of a sudden he says to me, he says, well, yeah, I used to have an iPhone, of course. He said, but I found that, you know, I struggled with some lust. And that was, so I got rid of it. And I got this dumb flip phone. Yes, it's stupid, but it protects me. It keeps me from that kind. And I thought, wow, that's the kind of thing. He's thinking. He's doing what we're talking about here. And so sometimes those are the things that we have to do. Things that are maybe more convenient, but yet if they're causing us to stumble, we've got to deal with that in whatever way we can. So recognizing temptation, avoiding temptation, the best we can, not, you know, putting ourselves in those vulnerable places. But then we come to overcoming temptation. Now, the only good news about temptation really is that we can overcome it. Now, the interesting thing, you know, God allows us to be tempted. He doesn't tempt us. We're told specifically that God is not tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But every person is tempted when they're led away by their own lust. So know this, God does not tempt us. But he does allow us to be tempted. And there's two things that happen in temptation. There's the opportunity to show our love for God. We say that we love God. And oftentimes what temptation is it's really the opportunity to put something above God. So God allows that. Do we really love him? We say we love him. Well, do we really love him? Well, here's an opportunity to test and see. But the other thing that happens is that we get strengthened when we pass victoriously through temptation. It's like we become better fighters spiritually. We become, the more you live and you go through temptations and you know, you have your struggles and difficulties and your falls, but then victories, and the more victories you have, you become like a seasoned warrior, and you become stronger. And so God uses these things also to strengthen us. But God's word tells us that victory is possible. It is not just possible, it's God's desire for us. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he said, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." John says, "I write these things to you so you may not sin." But you know, the same thing can be said of the Bible in its entirety. God's given us his word to show us what sin is, and through his word to strengthen us so we don't sin. David said, "Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So God's given us his word in order that we can grow and be strengthened and have that victory over sin. Now, when John says, "I write these things to you that you may not sin," he's not referring to a sinless perfection. We never come to a place where we're perfectly sinless in this life. But what he's talking about is the increasing victory over those attitudes and behaviors that bind us up, keep us back from all that God has for us, and dishonor Christ our Savior. You know, there's never going to be a day when I look back over the day and say, "Wow, this was a perfect day. I never sinned at all today." I mean, I can lay down at night and say, you know, "Thank God I didn't intentionally sin today. Thank God I didn't transgress today," because that's the kind of victory we can have. But, you know, if I stop and think, "Well, my thought here and my, I probably shouldn't have said that the way I said it," or whatever, those are the things. But John's not talking about that kind of sinless perfection. But he is talking about a consistent victory that, again, honors Christ and keeps us in that place where God can do all that he wants to do in our lives. So James tells us how to obtain this victory in James 4, verses 7 and 8. And this is what he said. He said, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." So let's just walk through those steps. Number one, submit to God. So this is the path to victory over temptation, submission to God. Victory begins with total submission to God. If I'm sort of playing around with my spiritual life, if I'm not really committed to Christ, if I haven't made a real sincere commitment to him of submitting my life, then it's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to be victorious over sin. Jesus has got to be the Lord of our lives. So that's where it starts. Submit to God. But then he says, resist the devil. You see, we're in a battle. We have to put forth resistance. We have to push back. The enemy pushes against us. We have to push back against him. So resisting means that we stand in faith on the word of God against the temptations that Satan brings our way. And that's exactly what we saw Jesus doing in the passage in Matthew that we read together today. Did you see how every time Satan comes with a temptation, Jesus responds back to him with the word of God? And what he's doing there is he's modeling for us. Now, I want to point this out to you. Jesus had victory over Satan, not as a divine being, but as a human being. When Jesus resisted the devil in the wilderness, he wasn't resisting him as God. He wasn't saying, "Satan, get out of here. I'm God. I could just obliterate you any second." He wasn't acting in his divinity. He's acting in his humanity. And so he's giving us a picture of how we as human beings as well can combat the devil and have victory over him. So what did Jesus do when he is tempted? Well, the tempter comes, and remember, he says, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." What does Jesus do? He says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread only." You see, the response corresponds directly to the temptation. Devil says, "Take these stones, turn to bread." Jesus says, "Oh, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So Satan was defeated, but he comes back again. And listen to him this time. "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written." Can you believe that? The devil, the audacity of the devil to quote the Bible back to Jesus? Did you know the devil knows the Bible? He knows it better than we do. And he will use it at times. He will quote it to us just like that. And of course, whenever the devil's quoting to you the Bible, know that there's a problem. And know that he's twisting it in some way. That he's trying to get you to misapply it in some way. But of course, Jesus knows that. And so Satan comes back with, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. They shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, oh yes, but it is also written. See, this is why it's important for us to have a good, thorough knowledge of God's word. This is why we have to immerse ourselves in the word. Because sometimes the devil will try to use God's word. Well, after all, didn't God say this? You know, I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago and they were telling me, and I've heard this a million times, but it's just kind of funny that I was hearing it again. They were talking about someone who's, you know, just so insistent that smoking weed is good with God because God made all the herbs of the field and he said they're all good. So don't try to tell me that smoking weed's bad. And, you know, I just think, okay, this is, hey, you know, here he is. He's quoting the Bible. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says smoke weed. No, the Bible doesn't say smoke weed. Yeah, everything was good when God originally created it, but something happened. There was a fall. And there's a bunch of things that you can smoke that aren't good. There's a bunch of things that you can eat that aren't good. So we've got to be wiser than the devil. So Jesus comes back. You miss this, Satan. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then the devil comes and he takes Jesus onto this high mountain. He shows them all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory in an instant. And what does he say to him? He says, all these kingdoms I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So each time Satan came with a temptation, Jesus countered with the word of God. That's exactly what we are to do. That's how we combat the devil when it comes to these kinds of things. And you know, it's interesting because remember the passage that we looked at there in James that we're considering, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. What happened after this? The devil fled. He fled. Now it does say that he fled for a season. He was looking for an opportune time to return. And he did return. And he will return in our situation over and over again. But, you know, we will have those victories and the devil will flee. But he's going to come back. But we've got to stay fit spiritually. We've got to stay in the word. We've got to stay ready and equipped for those moments that he does come. Now, as we close, I want to remind you of a few things from scripture, again, that we can apply when the enemy comes and tempts us. So when Satan tempts you to revert to your old habits, which is often what he does, doesn't he? He comes along and he says, oh yeah, you think you're a Christian, but you know, no, this is who you really are. And this is how you feel, and this is how you've always behaved, and this is what you've traditionally done. And so he's wanting to see you go back into those old behavioral patterns and habits. How do we resist him? Well, we resist him with the truth. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. When the devil comes with that kind of reasoning, we say, no, I'm not going there because I'm no longer that person. I'm a new creation. Those old things, yeah, that's what I used to do. That's what I used to be. That's how I used to behave. But I'm no longer going to do that because I am a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. Everything has become new. A similar idea in Romans 6, 11 and 12. Paul says, likewise, you also consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. So when the temptation comes along, Paul says, you consider this truth, you're dead to that. You're dead to sin. You're alive to God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, I used to be alive to sin, but now I'm dead to sin. And we have to stand on those truths. We have to resist the temptation with that firmly under our feet. No, I'm a new creation. No, I'm dead to sin. When Satan tempts you with sexual immorality, perhaps, or to go back to substance abuses and things of that nature, things that are forbidden by God, we resist him with 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. There, Paul says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. So you see, when the sexual temptation comes, or the temptation to put substances into your body that God has prohibited, say, wait a second, I can't do that. This is not my body. See, I used to do it with this body, but now this body's been redeemed. This body was bought at a price. The blood of God's son purchased my body. It's no longer mine to do with as I please. It's his. So what I am to do now, because he's purchased my body, is I am to glorify him in my body and in my spirit, which belong to him. So as James said then, submit to God, resist the devil, draw near to God. And this is what we need to do. When we are being tempted, flee. Flee the temptation and run to God. Run to God. If you have to literally run, then you literally run. Just like Joseph had to run out of the house of Potiphar because Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him and pull him into an adulterous situation, and she would not take no for an answer. Joseph ran from the house. And in the New Testament, when Paul says, flee youthful lust, and when James says, talks about fleeing here, no doubt that picture was in their minds. So there are times we flee, but we flee into the arms of God. We run to God. We run to his word. We run to him in prayer. We ask him to help us. We take our refuge in him. We turn away from that thing that's tempting us and trying to pull us in, and we turn to God. You know, sometimes it's as simple as you don't stay home at night and get into whatever you're watching that's getting you in trouble. You get out and you get to church. You get with God's people. You get with other believers. You get with them and you pray. You see, this is what we have to do. Resist the devil. Stand on God's word, and the great promise is Satan will flee.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Tempter and Temptation, and the resource number is BBE0045. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today. and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.